Would you like to share something you've heard on Issues Etc. via email, Facebook, Twitter, or text message? Well, we've made it easy for you. Just go to the on-demand page of our website, issuesetc.org, and click Share This. You'll find almost 50 ways to share Issues Etc. audio. We love our on-demand listeners. Old Theology, New Technology, issuesetc.org. Go to the on-demand page and click Share This.
Even in these tough times, there's still so much to celebrate this Christmas. A message of peace and brotherhood that continues to inspire more than 2,000 years after Jesus' birth.
I picture things as the opposite of the days of the Reformers. Back then, people were terrified of God and his judgment and of his wrath. Where today, it's God loves you anyway. He doesn't require payment for your sins. He just kind of forgets about them.
Saddleback does not need to be taught on generosity. This is the most generous church in the world. You gave $2.4 million, a world record. Isn't it great? Woohoo!
Southern Illinois truck drivers who love Issues, etc.
I lived through it. I mean, the last 10 years, and it still was kind of surprising around the new year to watch all of these 2009 and the first decade of the 2000s in review, and to see all that had happened in the last decade as we enter 2010. Have we emerged any smarter as Americans from the first decade of the new century and of the new millennium? Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. live this Friday afternoon, January the 8th. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We'll spend the first half hour talking to Colleen Carroll Campbell about the rediscovery of frugality. She says we have learned something. And to Dr. Thomas von Hegel about the Cappadocian Fathers. Then, in the last half hour of Issues Etc. today, we're going to devote that time to Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Year. We've got five soundbites from the 2009 Soundbite winners, and we want you to call and vote for Soundbite of the Year in the last half hour. 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE. Email us, talkback at issuesetc.org, or always Twitter us at issuesetc. Joining us to talk about the rediscovery of frugality, Colleen Carroll Campbell, a fellow for the Ethics and Public Policy Center, author of the book The New Faithful, and she writes a weekly column for the St. Louis Post-Dispatch. Colleen, welcome back.
Thanks for having me, Todd.
I was watching over the holiday during my vacation a lot of the 2000 first decade in review. I was really shocked to see how much stuff happened, and a lot of bad stuff happened in the first 10 years of the new millennium. How have Americans emerged from the first decade of this new century and new millennium?
Well, a little bruised and shaken up, I'd say. Certainly, the way it all began with the attacks of September 11th kind of set the tone for a pretty sobering decade. And then, of course, going out with a bang with the Great Recession, so many home foreclosures, so much unemployment, so many Americans really struggling economically. It's been a tough decade for many Americans, and I really think in one way or another, the issues that confronted us this decade have touched and shaken up everyone's life, at least in some way. So in many ways, it was a rough and tumble decade. But as I wrote in my column on Thursday in the St. Louis Post-Dispatch, I think there were also some positive side effects that came out of a pretty sobering decade.
Okay, let's talk about some of those. You focus on what you call the new frugality.
That's right. You know, what we've seen, certainly in the wake of the recession, but I think we saw this a little bit after September 11th and then in a much more concrete way after the recession began, is Americans kind of reconsidering their priorities, spending and otherwise, and we're starting to see kind of an end to the spend now, pay later attitude that really marked our behavior over the last several decades. And there are some actual concrete signs of this. I mean, of course, we're hearing today that it's hip to be thrifty. We're hearing about staycations instead of vacations and homegrown meals instead of going out to eat every night. Designer diaper bags and pet spas are on their way out, along with a lot of the other luxuries people can't afford anymore. But we're also seeing some concrete signs that Americans are beginning to save again. The Commerce Department's Bureau of Economic Analysis tracks our personal saving rate by subtracting what we spend from what we earn, and they found that that rate for the average American rose this last spring to its highest level in a decade and a half. We've also seen that consumer borrowing has declined precipitously in the last year. It's fallen by the largest amount in dollar terms since the records began to be kept by the Federal Reserve back in 1943. So there are some signs that what's been happening in the economy at large is impacting what Americans are choosing to do with their money. And there was a recent study also that was interesting. Fidelity Investments surveyed young workers, those between the ages of 22 and 33, and found that 4 in 10 say that they and their generation have become more fiscally conservative because they've lived through a recession, because they know what it means when the high times come to an end and it's time to pull back. So all of this has created, I think, an atmosphere of frugality, of more sobriety when it comes to spending. Unfortunately, it seems that Congress hasn't gotten the memo on this one.
Is it more than just dollars and cents? Is there a sense of sobriety in other aspects of our lives as Americans?
Yes, I do think so. And I think there's a ripple effect to a lot of this. One example would be a recent report that came out. Brad Wilcox over at the University of Virginia's National Marriage Project directed a report along with the Institute for American Values. Every year they survey the state of marriage in America. It's called the State of Our Unions. The 2009 edition found that there was a pretty significant, not massive, but a significant drop in divorce rates since 2007, a drop that the study's researchers say is attributable to American couples realizing that there are economic and social supports you get through marriage that are important in tough times. It's a little tougher to walk away from your marriage and to, for instance, go find yourself if you're feeling unfulfilled when you got to stick together to make the mortgage payment or to, you know, feed the kids. So in a sense, marriage is, of course, as much about those practical matters for most Americans as it is about this sort of soulmate model of marriage. And so I think Americans are beginning to appreciate some of those things more. We're also seeing that what's true for family may also be true for faith. There was a study of Protestant church attendance that came out about a year ago by a Texas University researcher that found a correlation between economic hard times and growth in churches, evangelical congregations specifically. Actually, there was a little bit of a downward trend in more liberal Protestant churches. But in the ones that did tend to emphasize kind of gospel basics, there seems to be an attraction in difficult times to those churches. And there was another recent study showing from the Lake Institute on Faith and Giving, that's over at Indiana University, showing that more than two-thirds of American congregations in 2009 had fundraising receipts that were the same or higher in 2009 than in 2008, which is interesting because, of course, the economy got worse in 2009. So all of this is to suggest that there are signs that Americans are putting more of their money and their energy in things that last, whether that be their marriages or contributing to their churches. Now, that's not true for everyone, of course, but again, these are signs maybe that we're beginning to reassess our priorities and sort of wean ourselves off this spending addiction and spending frenzy that we've been in for decades now.
That's what I'm concerned about. With only about a minute here, our tendency is to kind of break these things up into 10-year blocks and say, okay, the aughts are over and the teens are here and things are going to change just because the decade has rolled over. And Americans tend to look at bad times as very transient, and they expect good times to be the norm. Have we grown up a little bit so that we understand that there's going to be both every decade, and that perhaps the answer is not to wait out the bad times until the good times roll around again, but grow up?
Well, I certainly hope that's the case. I mean, we did see some of these same markers after the attacks of September 11th, and unfortunately, things returned to the not-so-good normal in many ways, whether it be church attendance or getting back into rampant consumerism and forgetting about some of these eternal questions that were nagging at people right after the 9/11 attacks. So we may see that return again. I mean, I think it's going to take more than a recession to shake many Americans out of that consumerism and materialistic approach to the world. But there have been enough big events in the past decade that I think there is some critical momentum building, at least for some Americans, to really deeply reassess what their lives are all about and what's really important. And I think this focus just on small things like spending time with the kids instead of buying them loads and loads of toys for Christmas. When we see more families doing that, that's a sign of hope. It's maybe not something that will apply to all American families, but that we're seeing some kinds of trend lines in that direction, I think, is hopeful and a good way to begin a new decade.
Colleen Carroll Campbell is a fellow for the Ethics and Public Policy Center, author of the book, The New Faithful. She writes a weekly column for the St. Louis Post-Dispatch. You can read her columns at our website, issuesetc.org. Colleen, thank you again.
You're welcome, Todd.